Number 33, My Burdens Rolled Away. On verse 2, the ladies will sing, and on verse 3, the men will sing, okay?
I've been adopted. been placed with a king. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the king of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy. And how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the king of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. He's king of all glory. His praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
We're going to finish this three-part series that we started with chapter 6 and then chapter 7 last time and now chapter 8. Chapter 6, we discovered that we are dead to sin because that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that truth is really good. I'm glad to have that truth. Dead to sin. I don't have to sin anymore. I am told that I'm dead to sin. Sin does not have dominion over me. I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. I can overcome the things of the flesh. At least that's what it says. I'm dead to sin. I'm glad for that. And I need to reckon that to be so in my life. But how to do it? How can I do this? That's Romans 8. Romans 8. In Romans 6, you kind of get the mechanics of it. In Romans 8, you get the dynamics of it, or the power to do it, okay? It's easy for me to say, the doctrine is this. You who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you're dead to sin now. You're alive unto God. You can live in a way that pleases Him. But so far in chapter 6, we don't have the total answer as to what power will I need to do this. I need power because, as chapter 7 tells me, that which I would, I don't do. And I want to do things that are right, but I find there's a problem inside my very members. I got a war going on inside here right now. I'm alive unto Christ and I want to do what's right and that, but I find that my flesh will try to get me to do wrong. How am I going to get the victory over that? Well, it actually answers it a little bit in the very end of chapter 7 where it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we're going to do this. Now, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's the first mention of the resource that you have inside of you. And we're going to read this. It's going to tell you He's there. And He will empower you to be able to overcome the flesh and to do things that bring forth life rather than things that bring forth death in your life, but bring forth fruits of life and righteousness, and may I also say, joy and happiness and blessing in your life. I see a problem within Christianity and within Christians. I see a problem today, and I believe it's because there's very little preaching on the importance of yielding to the Spirit of God inside of you. And that is, Christians walk around a lot of times, I see them, or I perceive this to be so. Maybe I'm wrong, but I perceive it to be so that a lot of Christians really are not experiencing the joy and the happiness that there is in serving the Lord. And I think it's because they become legalistic in their way and in their thinking. And they're more concerned about, is my Christianity accepted by other Christians, rather than, is my Christianity real and does it please the Lord? You know what? Pleasing the Lord is more important than, is the way I'm living okay with all the rest of the Christians? Now, you know, there are certain, I'm not advocating a non-structured Christian life or anything. We're told to do certain things. But you know what? The power to do those things is what's going to make it joyful. Joyful. And I, as a pastor of this church, and anybody who's listening, maybe on the internet or whatever, my goal is that you as a Christian would not just walk around doing the duties of a Christian and making sure that all, you know, I hope all the rest of Christians think I'm doing what's right, and more concerned about that than, what does God think about me? Am I in fellowship with Him? Am I yielding to the Spirit of God that He has sent to this earth to put inside me that I might live this new life in Christ? I would want that in all of your lives. I don't want coldness, deadness, or just going about the outward works. Even the things that are good can be done drudgingly. And that's not good. It will lead to being unhappy. You'll not be one that others want to be around because you kind of depress everybody. And yet you're doing everything. You're okay. Maybe you're not sinning, but you're not happy in what you're doing. You're doing this in the flesh. And I'm telling you, Romans 8 provides the resource you need to live a joyful Christian life. I don't know about you. And okay, I better be careful because I'm not always this way. But I don't know about you. I am having a good time in my new life in Christ. I hope you are too. I hope you're having a good time. I hope it's a blessed time. I hope it's full of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what it needs to be. All right, Romans 8, verse 1 says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not ordered around by the law or by the things of the flesh or even by a self-imposed law. A lot of Christians do that. They impose a law upon themselves. They say, as long as I do these things, as long as I do this and that, and the other Christians see me doing it, and I impress everybody, well, then I'm doing the Christian. Oh, wait a minute. No. That's going to lead to fleshly results. You need spiritual results. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You know, the law of Moses, there it is, the Ten Commandments. Nothing wrong with it. It shows forth the holiness of God. You know what the problem is with that? My flesh can't keep it. My flesh can't do it. So now God is going to provide something which enables us to fulfill the law. Not according to the works of the flesh here. Now look here, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's why chapter 6 is true when it says I'm dead to sin now, because I died with Christ, I was buried with him, I rose to new life in Christ. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you remember back in chapter 6? Look at chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, there is a yielding necessary on your part. And chapter 8 tells you the person to whom you should yield. The Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus was here, the disciples went to him, asked him all their questions, and he would answer them. He'd tell them what they should do, shouldn't do. Hey, he'd say, follow me, obey me, keep my commandments and things like that. But now he's gone. And before he left, he prayed to the Father that the Father would send another comforter after he's gone. And that other comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And he's here now. And he's not just floating around in our, you know, in our presence. Notice as we continue on, he's right down inside of me. He has taken up residence in there. I'm going to say to you, I don't really understand that. I don't really know. How does the Holy Spirit get inside me? You know, does he surgically open me up? No. I don't know how it happens. But the Bible declares it to be true, that the Spirit of God dwells in you, every one of you. And there is no reason why every one of you who name the name of Christ, say you're a Christian, you're born again, you're saved, there's no reason why you can't be living a victorious Christian life. And a life full of joy and gladness. Even when you're sick, even when the bad things happen, the Spirit of God's going to guide you right through that. He guided Jesus through it. And he guided all the saints mentioned in the Bible through it, and all some of the things they had to go through. But none of them would ever say, boy, the Lord let me down. No, they'd all say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what they would say. Even in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit wasn't even residing in them all the time, even they could say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, verse 5. We're going to get a contrast here between people who are lost and people who are saved. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's the lost. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's you and me, saved. For to be carnally minded is death. That's the lost. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, don't just read over that real quick. Life and peace. That's great. You know, I want to enjoy this life. It's called new life. And other places it's called the new man. In Corinthians, it's called the new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah, life and peace. To be at peace between you and God. The lost man's at war with God. I'm at peace with God. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And enmity means at war. Not at peace, at war. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, you could put the Ten Commandments out in front of a lost man and leave him there in front of his eyes all day long. You know, he goes to work, he could drag that stone of the Ten Commandments to work and drag it back home. And the Ten Commandments could be there all day long. You know what? He's never going to be able to please God just because the law is right there all the time. You know why? Because he can't do it. He cannot do it. You and I can fulfill the righteousness of the law through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is very important. And I'm going to say this. I know that this is true. Now, I know I've been here 40 years as ministering to this church, and I don't get out a lot into other churches and so forth, but you know, news travels. It travels, and you get to know some things going on in the churches, and you can almost see it on the faces of the believers. They're not enjoying the Christian life. They're just doing all the things that they're supposed to do. Oh, they're active in everything, but they're not enjoying their Christian life. Now, I want you to be active in doing things and all the things you should be doing, but I want you to be enjoying doing it. And remember last message in chapter 7, we entitled it, Because I Want To. Because I want to. Not because I have to. Because I want to. And now here is how, now that I want to, what's the resource I have to be able to do it? Right here it is. So then, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. Now we're talking to Christians. You are not like the lost man. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, the word if there is not so much try to figure out if he is. It's as if it's a foregone conclusion. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and the answer to that is he does. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, meaning you're not saved. If the Holy Spirit of God is not dwelling inside you, you know what the problem is? Not that the Holy Spirit has a problem. You got a problem. You have not been saved yet. You need to get saved. And if you're here today and never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you say in yourself, you know, I see these other people here. They all claim to be saved. They seem to have something I don't have. And by the way, folks, that's what I am preaching to you as Christians that you ought to have. You ought to have something that shows to the lost that they're missing out on something. Something big, big time. But some Christians are so stuck into not realizing the resource of the Holy Spirit. They're working everything out in the flesh. And they're not happy. And you won't be happy. If you try to live this Christian life in the flesh, you will not be happy. You will not know the joy of living this new life. It'll be a drag to you. It'll be a burden. Oh, we got to do this again. Well, yeah, but I'll do it with a smile so everybody thinks I'm happy about it. Wow, that's no good. That's not it. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? If Christ be in you. Now, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about the Spirit of God in us. You know what the job of the Spirit of God is? To always teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what his job is inside. The Holy Spirit, there's three persons to the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the three does not seek to bring attention to himself. It's interesting, the Trinity and the way it is. But the third person of the Trinity does not seek to bring glory to himself. You know what he does? He wants to glorify Jesus Christ in us. And in this manner, in this way, the Bible says Christ is in you. Verse 10 continues, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And there's that if again. That's a conclusion kind of an if. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, one of these days, this mortal body, which will, unless the rapture happens, which will be placed in a grave somewhere, it's going to be raised up. this mortal body is going to be raised up. And if he can do that, he can then also make you a new creature in Christ Jesus and cause you to live this new life in Christ. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. You know, believer, there is a sin unto death. The Bible talks about it. You know, if you get so far away from living the life that God wants you to be living for him through the power of the Spirit of God, he may have to take you home early. And that's just the way it is. There is a sin unto death, it says in 1 John chapter 5. So what should we do? Verse 13, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify means to put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You'll live. You'll keep on living. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, you don't want to be taken home early in a disciplinary fashion by the Lord because you're not living for him. Why not live for the Lord? Be yielding to the Spirit of God. And you'll live. Now, it's not saying you'll never die. It's just talking about your Christian walk. It's talking about walking. Are you going to walk in the flesh or are you going to walk in the Spirit? If you walk in the flesh, guess what? You're going to die. You walk in the Spirit, you're going to live and be used of the Lord in a great way. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's eternal security right there. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, we did not preach the gospel to you and see you trust it and receive it that you might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in order that we might put you back underneath an old law of bondage. No, you've been saved and set free now to serve the Lord. You're at liberty in Christ to serve the Lord. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Jason sang the song, Shake Hands with a Poor Boy. Talks about, I've been adopted. And I got a mansion waiting for me up there in heaven. I've been adopted. I've been adopted into God's family. I become a child of God. And it says, well, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have some babies now in our midst at times, don't we? And every once in a while you hear the baby cry out for Mama. Or Dada, you know. And when they first start talking, what's the first word they learn? Dada, you know. You try to get them to say that. And then after a while you want them to stop saying it, you know. But you want to hear them say something. And a little baby cries out, Dada. When they're in trouble, Dada. When they fall down, Dada. And then when they finally can get the word Mama out, and that's too bad, mothers. It seems like that goes second. You don't get that first. And you really should, because, I mean, you gave birth to this child. Say Mama first, you know. But when they finally say Mama, the parent loves to hear that. I don't know about you. I just love hearing my grandchildren say my name the way they say it. Whether it's Papa or if it's Grandpa. I love that sound. And I think that I could even identify that voice in a crowd of kids. I could pick out the one who's mine. I can tell by the voice. And you know what? This is the type of relationship. And I know you're all grown up and mature and everything. But you know what? You need to be able to say, Abba. That's a term of endearment from an infant to the parent. And in this case, to our Heavenly Father up in heaven. Abba is almost like saying Dada or Mama. Abba, Father. Haven't there been times, folks, when you just didn't know what else to do? And the only thing you could think of is to say, Dear God, Heavenly Father. Maybe you forgot about the word Abba and didn't use that, but you could use it. Abba, Father. I need, you know, whatever. I want you to be close to me. I need to be close to you. Help me. You know, whatever you're doing. You can do it because you are adopted. You are a child of God. And you can go to your Heavenly Father like that. It's not a mechanical thing that you do. It's real. It is a real relationship with the Father up in heaven. And He wants you to have it. It's in the Bible. He wants you to have that. It's not now. Now you could say Abba Father, but you know, if you're too mature and too far along, you know, you might want to. No, this is for all of us right here. All of us can cry out, Abba Father. And the spirit that's inside itself beareth witness with our spirit. See, you do have a spirit. You're made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit, that part of you that can have fellowship with God, it witnesses with your spirit that we are the children of God. And a lot of us walk around as Christians like as if we're strangers to God rather than, He's my Father. I like that song. Shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Now, well, that doesn't even make sense. A poor boy doesn't have anything. Oh, yeah, but this poor boy does, because I've been adopted. And I have a Heavenly Father who has promised all is mine in Christ Jesus. All is mine. And that's real. It's as real as any other doctrine found in the Bible that you can take unto yourself and say, amen, I like that. The deity of Jesus Christ, yeah. The vicarious atonement of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. Oh, and I own everything. Why? Read on. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and the if again, is, we do, we suffer with him, that we may all be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know what? This chapter just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I don't know if that makes any sense. It gets more wonderful as you go through this thing, this chapter. Walk in the Spirit. And I'm able to fulfill the righteousness of the law. Walk in the Spirit and I'll live. Walk in the Spirit and realize I'm a child of God. I can cry out unto the Father, Abba, Father, at any time. I'm a joint heir. I own everything. If I'm a joint heir with Christ, that song's true. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Verse 19, look at this. It just gets better and better. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, someday God's going to make known to the whole world, these are my children. These belong to me. Oh, world, oh, even the lost of the world, you look at this. These belong to me. And one of these days he's going to make known that all of us who are saved are the children of God. And by our manifestation, this whole world is going to be set straight again. It won't be set straight until we're with the Lord up in heaven. You know that? And then, of course, there's 7 years, tribulation. And then the Lord's going to come with us. With his armies, we'll be on white horses. It's just going to be great. And the whole world's going, whoa, look at this. And that's us. We're going to come back with the Lord. I don't think we're going to do any of the fighting. The Lord's going to do it with the sword out of his mouth. He'll destroy the wicked. But we'll be with him. We'll be singing hallelujah. Vengeance is the Lord's. And it's time that this world get cleaned up. And look what it says. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity or emptiness, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That's Adam and all of us. We subjected this earth to the curse that it's under. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know what? What we have, grab a hold of this. What we have right now, what we have right now available to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit is something that the whole world's looking forward to when all of us are gathered together with the Lord and He comes back to set things straight. It says here, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Then everything will be as it is for us who are saved, right? Even now. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Oh boy, this creation. Every once in a while it groans and magma comes up out of the ground. And throws it up into the air. Kills people if they're in the way. Or sometimes this earth groans and creaks and cracks open an earthquake. And it splits the earth and destroys things and everything. It's groaning in pain. It's under the curse. Thistles grow. People get sick. We have hospitals. We have cemeteries. Why? Because of the curse. Corruption. It groaneth and travaileth. In pain until now. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves. I noticed as you all came in, and you'd shake hands with me, and say, how you doing, Pastor? And I'd say, how you doing? And we'd be like, well, if you only knew, I don't have time to tell you all the pains and aches I got. Yeah, I know. We all got it. We all have it. We're all waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And that's the blessed hope. You know, that's great. I'm glad that's there. You know, I have these people come up to me and, you know, they're charismatic and Pentecostal and they want to pray for me for my cancer. Well, Pastor Freeman, let me pray for you. And they'll put their hand on my head or on my shoulder. I pray the demon of cancer, I claim it out of you today. And they go on all kinds of stuff like that. And I still got the demon of cancer in there. The demon didn't come out. I know one thing. I don't have no demon in there because I can't be possessed by the devil. I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. These people really got a lot of doctrine messed up. You know what? If the Lord sees fit to heal me, He can do that. And He has some of us. We've prayed and we've seen Him do it for us. And we're glad and we thank Him for His mercy and grace. You left so-and-so to stay here with us for a season. But even if He chooses that I shouldn't be healed, I'm going to praise His name until I'm in His presence and I get that brand new body then. And that will happen for me at the rapture. Boy, that'd be great if that happened today. Or, you know, when the Lord comes back, well, at the rapture and raises me up, I'm going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And this mortal will be immortal. This corruptible will be incorruptible. And that's what it says there, the redemption of the body. I'm waiting for that. Waiting for the adoption to win. You know, these people ought to start waiting instead of claiming that the atonement provides for healing in the body. Presently, it doesn't. Doesn't guarantee. Now it guarantees eventually. Eventually, I'll be having that new body. And that's because He paid for all my diseases. He took them upon Himself and all my sicknesses. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what? I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ who I've trusted in. But I'm waiting for Him to come. And it's my hope. I have a blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. I'm looking forward to that. That's a hope that I have. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I see a whole lot of groanings going on here. The creation groans, we groan, and even the Spirit of God groans. Even the Spirit of God groans. You know, because he comes and he lives inside of us. And he knows our infirmities. He knows. He knows our weaknesses. And so he groans to the Father up in heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, prayed and often he cried. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, great drops of blood came out as he talked with his Father about the situation here on earth. And the Spirit groans on my behalf when I, at those times, say, "Now, Lord," did you ever get a prayer like that? "Dear Lord," and really nothing else could come out because you don't even know what to say. I mean, the things are so messed up. You don't even know what to say. That's a time when you just go ahead and groan, and the Holy Spirit of God will take up where you leave off and make intercession for us. And not only does the Spirit do that, but I have someone in heaven who makes intercession for me too, Jesus Christ. Whoa, I tell you what, I know this chapter is long, but whoa. Verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I'm glad for that. When the Spirit of God prays for me, the Father up in heaven knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we need, because he and the Spirit are together. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, it doesn't say all things are good. All things that happen are good. It doesn't say that. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And then he expands this called according to his purpose here with the next few verses, which puts me into a greater understanding of my position in Christ. Look at this. "For whom he did foreknow," and he knew me. He knew me. He knew me before I was born. And now I also believe this, that God knew that at 10 years of age, this human being called Gary Freeman, surnamed Gary Freeman, would bow at his bed and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior. I believe God knew that too. Now, he didn't make me do it. I wasn't forced down on my knees. I did that on my own. But he knew. What a God. If he knows all that, should I be worried about tomorrow? "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Oh, I like that. That's great. "That he might be the firstborn among many brethren." All of us are brethren together in Christ. More, verse 30. "Moreover," even better than this, "moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified." You know, justified means not guilty. No, I know one thing. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of a lot of things, but not in God's eyes now. In Christ, I am justified. Not guilty. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I mean, how much better can it get for the Christian? This is a wonderful thing to be saved. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. This walking in the Spirit results in all this, all these things that this chapter continues to tell me about. Verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things?" It's great, this chapter. Excuse me. "What shall we then say to these things?" What can you say? Well, I don't know. Is that all there is? You know, Lord, isn't there anything else? You got everything. And it ends up with the last word, glorified. Oh, what more do you need? I'm going to be in his presence. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to have a new body. And I'll not have to worry about having to yield to the Spirit of God anymore, because that's all over with this new body I got. Verse 31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Oh, amen. You say, well, the devil's still out there. Yeah, but guess what? God's for us. Who can be against us? Well, there are some people who don't like me because I'm a Christian. Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yep, shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, yeah, but you know what, Pastor? I just haven't been doing everything the way I should. I don't know, what do you think of me? You know what? It doesn't matter what the pastor thinks of you. Well, brother so-and-so, yeah, what do you think of? It doesn't matter. You know what it matters? What does God think? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, it just keeps on going like, you got everything you need, Christian. You got everything you need. And it will never end. And you can never be separated from this once having trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. All this is yours forever. How do I know? Read the next verse. As it is written. Or the rest of verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Can that separate? The answer isn't given. It's assumed that you know the answer is no. None of those things can separate me. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Get your songbook out and turn to number 11. I want you to sing this. Okay, you know, I know that some of you can't smile because you're afraid you're going to crack your face. Or maybe you got makeup on and it's, you know, if I smile, it'll ruin my makeup. Okay, if you can't smile, that's all right. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the new life in Christ. And it's joy, number 11. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you're here today and not saved, while you hear the Christians singing joy unspeakable, full of glory, and you want to get saved, step out from where you're at and come down and meet me down here in the front. But I'm going to tell you, to get saved is the best thing you could ever do. The best thing you could ever do. Well, I don't know. I got married to this wonderful woman next to me. That's it. Getting saved is better than that. Better than that. And whoever you are that's next to the spouse, you need to admit that and say, you're right, getting saved is better. Because it is. It is the best thing you've ever done. All right, Jason, start us out here. Number 11. Let's stand if you can. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. Oh, I sin and earn at Jesus' feet. I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That has never yet been told. I have There's joy unspeakable, full of glory. And I want the people to know that and to go out of here with that. And I hope you can as a result. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the blessings it shows to us that we have in Christ Jesus. Yes, we may be a poor boy down here, but we own everything in Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. And it's wonderful. Help us now to go forth and live our lives out, not just to impress others, but because of all the great things you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.